Are you happy to be here this morning? Isn't it great to be in God's presence? Have you sensed His presence here this morning? Amen. So this morning, I want to continue on in our series that we started last week about Holy Spirit as we lead up and get ready for Easter. How many of you have ever completed one of those personality type profiles? You might be familiar with what I'm talking about, like a Briggs-Meyer or a Leading from Your Strengths, where it tells you your personality, whether it's an A or a B, a lion, a cougar, all of those different things. Anybody here ever done one of those profile things? Many of us have. Well, when I was in Bible college, we had to do one of these evaluations. And it helps you to understand what type of a person you are. And in this particular one, it helped you to understand what type of a role you would be best suited for. So through a series of questions, it was determined that I was best serving in the role or as a supportive specialist role. Now, what does that mean? It means that I am really good at coming alongside of another person and supporting them in accomplishing what it is that they have been called to do. And this could be, even for myself, the reason why I ask so many questions. Because the thing is that if I'm going to help you and support you, I need to understand where it is you're going and what it is that you are hoping to accomplish. I didn't always look at myself as being much of a creative individual. I was able to take the ideas of my senior pastors and those that I worked under and basically make them get all of these things accomplished. Sometimes the way that I would word it is that my job is, I'm here to make you look good. And I had one guy who would always tell me, he says, I don't need you to make me look good, I look good. I said, okay, well then I'm here to make you look awesome. So hence why, when I got an email from Calvin in regards to the position here at the church, I was kind of taken aback because, well, I'm a supportive specialist. I'm not in that lead pastor role. So this wasn't a part of Chad's plan. Becoming a lead pastor, that wasn't my plan. And for a lot of years, I lived under the diagnosis of these words that were kind of spoken over me in Bible college of being that supportive specialist. It's not that God didn't use me in these areas, but what I was doing was actually putting a ceiling on what it was that I was allowing God to do in and through me. I felt that I was much better serving the person that I was called to come alongside of. I was much better to just come alongside of a senior pastor and walk with them. My specialty was often more in the organization, getting everything in place and having this great sort of production. I wasn't that guy who craved having the pulpit. You know, there's some guys, I basically said to my senior pastor, I have to fill out a form that says that I've preached, so let's make sure that I preach at least once a year. I'm good with that. But over the years, I found that I was hiding behind this title of supportive specialist. And anytime I was asked to do something, or to be out front, I would say, oh, there's always somebody else that can do this role so much better. Why don't you go and ask this person? They're much more suited for this. What I was doing was robbing myself of the opportunity to allow God to work through me and do what it was that He was asking me to do. I guess if you want to look at it, the way that I looked at it is that I preferred to be the sidekick. I like when someone else makes the decision. That's primarily, and ask my family about this, I'm much better if we want to go out for dinner, I'll simply say to them, you choose the restaurant. Well, where do you want to go? It's like, you just choose the restaurant, don't make me make the decision. Because I sit there the entire time, and I'm thinking, does this person like the food? Are they enjoying this? What about the service? Are they happy with that? And if I know that they're discontented, then I kind of take that personally, even though I have nothing to do with it. So if we ever go out for dinner, I'm just going to set you up for success right now, already have the place picked out, okay? Make it easy on me, because you know it's all about me. No, I'm kidding. But I mean, the thing is that going out, let's go to a place that's going to work for everybody. So speaking of sidekicks, I want us to explore this a little bit further this morning. And let's look at some popular people groups. And as a result, I hope this is okay to do this, but I have some chocolate bars here that I want to give away. Anybody else here like chocolate? Yeah? You're good with this? Okay, so we're going to have a little bit of fun with this. And so what's going to happen is I'm going to give you the name of an individual, and I want you to tell me who their sidekick is. Now, this is not for all the 10 that I have. There's a few, and there's a question, so I will let you know if this is for a chocolate bar and the information that I'm looking for. But how it's going to work is that I'm going to say something, and don't just blurt out the answer. I'm going to acknowledge you, and I'm going to look to you for the answer, all right? So let's just kind of do a test run, all right? If I were to say Robin, what's the answer? Marcia, there you go. Well, you know what? I wasn't planning this, but here, have a chocolate bar. There you go. Nice catch. All right. So that's how the game is going to play, all right? So now this one's not for chocolate, but if I say the name Barney Rubble, who do you think of? Okay, so these ones you can just blurt out the answers. I'll let you know if I need a hand, all right? Winnie the Pooh. All of my research said Piglet. So if you said Piglet, you got the right answer. Diana Ross. The Supremes, exactly. Okay, now this one is for a chocolate bar. I'm going to give you the first part, but I want you to follow it up with the real names. So if I say Goose, you say? Who said that? Hand. Aaron. Maverick. What are the real names? Tom? Real life. Okay, Tommy, what is it? And? There you go. I won't throw this one. All right? There you go. See how easy that is? Okay, couple more. If I say donkey, you think? Shrek, exactly. Here's one, Howard Wolowitz. Oh, Kemi. Rajesh with apology, exactly. That one's from Big Bang Theory. Jack Tripper. No. Don. No. Who was Jack's sidekick? You read my script. You can't answer. Did you say it? Larry Dallas, if you watch the show Three's Company. All right, now this one is for a chocolate bar, and I want the name and I want the show. Dwight Schrute. Dave. Exactly. There you go. I can't chuck it. Run down. There you go. Watson. Han Solo. Exactly. Now this one here is for a chocolate bar, and here's the fun fact behind this one. This one was listed as the number one in the list of people and their sidekicks. If I say Ed McMahon, you think, okay, so Ed McMahon, Joanne. Exactly. There you go. I'm all out of chocolate bars now. Good job. Perfect. So here's my question for you. If you were a two-person group, which person would you be? Would you be the leader of the group, or would you be the sidekick? The definition of a sidekick is one who is a person's assistant or close associate, especially one who has less authority than that person. So I believe for me, I've always enjoyed being that sidekick. I've always enjoyed coming alongside of people on their journey. And so this could be why, even for myself, I served really well and I enjoyed being a funeral director, because I got to come alongside of the family and walk with them through some of the decisions. I was able to ask them questions to get them thinking about what it was that they wanted to do. So where is it that you yourself, where do you serve best? What role has God called you to serve in? So last week we started on our series of Holy Spirit. And so prior to Jesus' death on the cross, he was telling them that someone was coming. In John 14, we can read that Jesus is further explaining this to the disciples. And he says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." The words should be on the screen. Next slide there. There you go. All right, perfect. "And he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So when Jesus is saying, you know him, for he dwells, he's referring to himself. He's saying, I am here with you right now. He's also preparing them for that time when he knows that he's going to be taken into heaven. And he's saying, at that time, God will send you another helper. God will give us Holy Spirit. So when he's saying that he will be in you, he's saying that by believing in me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, Holy Spirit will be in you. You will be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So right now, he's saying, I am here with you. Physically, you can see me. Soon, you will no longer see me. But Holy Spirit will come and will live within you. You won't be able to take me. You won't be walking down the streets of Galilee with me anywhere any longer. But you will have Holy Spirit going with you. Do you believe that this morning? Perfect. So last week we spoke about when we invite Jesus into our hearts. That's the soul and the spirit, the seat of the emotions. Holy Spirit dwells within us. We have Holy Spirit with us everywhere we go. So I spoke about that a few weeks ago. Holy Spirit doesn't just show up on Sunday mornings from 10 till 11:15 or however long. Holy Spirit is with you every single day, every moment that you are going around. So the question I have for you this morning is that we, this morning that have a relationship with Jesus and have Holy Spirit living with you, who is the leader and who is the sidekick? So last week we spoke about the role of Holy Spirit. What was the one we looked at last week, anybody? The regenerator. Nice, Donna, I heard that voice. So the work of the Holy Spirit is not something that we are able to do on our own. To be regenerated means to come into existence, to be recreated, to be made over better. So we cannot bring ourselves into existence. We're not able to recreate ourselves. We are not able to make ourselves over in a better form. We learn that we need to be born again. So this morning we're going to look at Holy Spirit, the Empowerer. And as we continue on in this series, I want you to keep in the back of your brain for the entire duration of this series is, who is the sidekick? Who's the sidekick in my relationship with God? So thinking again, a sidekick is one who is a person's assistant or close associate, especially one who has less authority than that person. We're going to turn now to Luke chapter 24 to start our scriptures. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, by your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would open up our hearts, that you would open up our ears, our minds, that we would hear from you this morning, and we would understand and know your love, your grace, what it is that you're speaking into our hearts this morning as we continue to move forward in what it is that you are calling us to do. We thank you that you are here in our midst. We thank you that you are watching over us. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So starting to read in Luke 24, I'm going to start at verse 36. It's going to be on the screen here for you as well. And it says this, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself? Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. What did Jesus mean here when he said clothed with power from on high? I'm so thankful that you had that thought, so let's turn over now to Ephesians chapter 3, which is where we're going to be focusing on this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 14, and it says this, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So this morning, let's just take a look at the word power. In any role where you have two parties, the main person and the sidekick, one is going to hold the power, right? So in some relationships, the sidekick likes to let the main person think that they hold all of the power. We recently watched the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Anyone here seen that movie? Well, in that movie, you'll hear the wife is talking, and she's speaking with the family, and she's recognizing, she says, you know, the man is the head of the household. But she says what the man doesn't realize is that the woman is the neck. And she can turn that head whatever way she wants it to go. So we have to understand, who is it that has the power in our lives? When you think of power, what comes to your mind? Some people will think, in regards to power, they'll think lawyers. They'll think politicians. They'll think court judges. But what does it mean to have power? To have power is often associated with being able to do whatever you want without anybody stopping you. Being in a position where people will obey you. Possibly even holding other people's lives in the palm of your hand or in your hands. For example, if you've ever gone on a cruise, you know that the captain of the ship is basically holding all of the passengers of that ship in his hands. He's looking after that entire ship. So what does it mean to be empowered? Being empowered means you have been given power or authority, to be authorized, to be enabled or permitted. When you have been empowered, you are permitted to do what it is that you have been asked to do. So, for example, the power of attorney. Some people are familiar with this statement. The power of attorney is an individual that someone may appoint to look after their affairs, primarily their financial affairs, in the event that they're not able to make decisions on their own. They would appoint somebody to be the power of attorney. And that person comes into play. Now, this is a teachable moment. If you have a power of attorney, remember that power of attorney ceases once you pass away. Once you pass away, that then goes to the executor or executrix. A power of attorney is somebody that is able to speak on your behalf while you are still alive. So Jesus explained to the disciples that they would be clothed with power from on high. We will be empowered by God. Acts 1:8 says, "And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You've heard me speak about this particular passage in regards to us here as a church when it comes to missions. We have been called It says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Where? For us as a church, in the Comox Valley, in the province of British Columbia, in the country of Canada, and then to the ends of the earth. These things cannot be done without the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The power is not something that we have on our own accord. It is something that is given to us. Without it, we are not equipped for the challenges that we face as witnesses of Christ. The same is true when we go out as witnesses of Christ. We go out being empowered. We go out under the power of the Holy Spirit. So that, what is it that you have been empowered to do? What have you been clothed with? What is this powerful clothing that we wear? Well, we learn in this passage, we learn that we have been clothed with strength. You have been empowered by Holy Spirit with strength to comprehend. This strength helps us understand what it is that God is doing. This is equally important when you're working with believers and unbelievers. In our workplace, our home life, wherever we go, God will give us the strength for what lies ahead. I've spoken with people over the years, and they've come alongside, and they said, oh, Chad, can you pray with me? I need to pray that God would open up another door. I've been working at this place, and I'm the only believer that's there, and it's just getting to be too hard, and I need to go to another place, and there's other believers over here. I struggle to pray that prayer with people for the simple fact that if I pray that God takes you out of that place, what happens? The only light that is in that place is going to be removed. So why would I pray that God would take his presence out of that place? God has placed you there for a reason. So that's what I in turn pray. I say, how can I come alongside of you and support you in where it is that you are? Because you are there. God has you there for a reason. God is going to use you. Have you asked God to open up your eyes to see how he's going to use you in that particular place? In our church, our life groups, not everyone is a Spirit-filled believer. We learn in Scripture that not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. We ask Holy Spirit to give us the strength to comprehend what is happening. This is the same when somebody comes up to you and they say, well, I believe that God is saying this. These people will often use this statement to give themselves power to do or say something that they have not been authorized or empowered to do. This is why anytime I speak a word over somebody's life, I will follow it up by saying this. Please make sure that you take this home and you line this up with what God has been speaking into your heart and what you have been hearing from his voice. Because if I am completely off course, you need to first and foremost listen to what Holy Spirit is saying to you. Because I don't always have it correct. You don't always have it correct. We don't use God as our trump card. When you are empowered by Holy Spirit, you will have the strength to comprehend what Holy Spirit is saying. With the infilling of Holy Spirit, we also read in Acts that it comes with a boldness. It comes with an authority. If what that person says, like I said, does not line up with what God is speaking into your heart, God has given you the strength to comprehend and know. I have watched how people have come forward for prayer and somebody speaks a word over their life that is not even in line with what God is speaking to them, or maybe it's not even the right time. And what happens is that word becomes an idol for them. All that they do is they become so fixated on this word. Everything that they're doing is all about this word. And their eyes have been taken off of Christ and they have been put upon this word. We need to make sure that what is spoken lines up with the word of God. You have been empowered by Holy Spirit. When you're empowered by Holy Spirit, you will know the truth. And what will the truth do? Set you free. Exactly. So what does being empowered do? What else are you clothed in? You have been clothed with love. You've been empowered by Holy Spirit to know the love that Christ has for you. So going back to that last thought about knowing the truth and the truth setting you free, remember that when you know the truth, you will also know the truth of God's love. God's love does not give us permission to tear down. God has called us to love, to have grace, to speak truth. We know that what we receive from God is supernatural. When He provides us with a depth of understanding, that is a supernatural understanding. The love that we have been clothed with is a supernatural love. Because let's face it, there are some people that we will encounter that are not the easiest to love. Have you ever encountered somebody like that? It's just, you take all of the strength I have in me to love you. And I'll be the first to admit that I'm not always the easiest person to love. This is why, you know, even when I'm sitting with couples and I'm doing marriage counseling and I hear the wife or the husband saying, you know, I just don't love them anymore. I fell out of love. What I actually hear is I'm making the choice to not love this person any longer. Because love is more than just a feeling. Love is a choice. Do you agree with me on that? Because some mornings when you roll over and you look at the person next to you, you have to sometimes remind yourself, I choose to love this person. Their breath is awful, but I love this person. We don't fall in the love, we make the choice to love. God is love. There is nothing that we can say or do that can cause God to love us any more or any less than what He does already. You might have messed up. God still loves you. There is nothing that you're able to do to remove God's love from you. God has clothed you with love. When you're empowered by Holy Spirit, you begin to understand the love that God has for you. And as a result, it helps you to know how to love other people. When God clothes us with love, it's a powerful love. This is not some sort of a quick charge that we might receive. This is not like these new Samsung phones that you can tap together and get a quick charge and get a battery boost. No, this is a supernatural love, a powerful love that God pours out upon us. Holy Spirit is not somebody that we just tap into to get a quick surge. God uses us to demonstrate His power. There is power in the love that God has given to you. God has given it to you, therefore you have been empowered with love. Holy Spirit, the empowerer, consumes you. The question is, are you a demonstration of God's love? What's another way that we've been empowered? Something else that we've been clothed with? You have been clothed with the fullness of God. What is this fullness that Paul is speaking about here in this passage? He's referring to the Holy Spirit at work within us. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. When we have the power of Holy Spirit within us, we are able to do so much more than we can ever ask, think, or even imagine. It's not having Holy Spirit as your sidekick. It's you partnering with Holy Spirit and you becoming the sidekick. When I received that printout back in 2003, identifying me as a supportive specialist, that didn't mean that this is what God was calling me to do for the rest of my life. This is something that, you know, I was being able to see that this is where you are right now. But there were things that I would go through. God was preparing me for something greater. God knew what He was leading me to, and He was preparing me for that. God knows what He is calling you to do. Are you going to stay there with the diagnosis that you might have received in 1978, 88, 98, whatever year it was? Or are you going to be clothed with the fullness of God, knowing that God has called you towards something so much greater? Are you prepared for what's in store? For some of us, we've been prancing around inside this gate of our territory. And God has been telling you to open up the gate. I want to do so much more within you. But we are so comfortable inside of our gate. Perhaps the gate has even been opened for us, and we're afraid to step outside. God has been birthing something inside of you for how he is going to use you. For example, you might be living in this great big home. Your kids have moved out. You're an empty nester. Perhaps God has been speaking something into your heart about how he's going to use you in this house where you live, that it can be a greater blessing for somebody else. God might be saying to you that it's time for you to sell this great big space and move to something smaller. He's saying this house is taking up so much of your time, so much of your energy, so much of your finances that you're not able to do what it is that I'm calling you to do. If you were to downsize and move into something smaller, look at the things that I want to do through you. The next season is about to begin, and we need to free up some things that are holding us back from moving forward. You know, the thing is I even think about that, and I'll tread on some thin ice here this morning, but I look even in regards to this building. Sometimes it's hard for us to see how this space could be used. Because right now when you walk in, you see it filled with pews. What is God calling us to do? You know, I shared on this earlier this year and last year that I believe the vision that God has given for this church when this church was planted back in 1969, 1968, was this was a church built on discipleship, community, building relationships. How can we use this facility, this building, to reach our community, to disciple people, to come alongside people and build relationships with them? Are we coming to a place where God is saying it's time, dare I say it? I said it at the AGM, where God is saying it's time to move out the pews and bring in chairs so that this facility can be a lot more functionable? But Chad, this is the sanctuary. The sanctuary is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Is this the temple of the Holy Spirit? Where's the temple of the Holy Spirit? Inside of us. What is it that God is asking us to do as a church to move forward? Or are we living under a diagnosis from, say, 20, 30, 40 years ago? Church, I'm ready to dream. I believe that God is calling us to dream. He's been speaking into my heart. The question is he speaking into yours? Are you ready to move? Are you ready to do something with what God has been speaking into your heart? Are we being empowered by the Holy Spirit? What dreams has God placed inside of you? What desires has God put inside of you? It's time for this to be unleashed. And what comes with being unleashed? It means that it's time for us to become a little uncomfortable. You have been working within the confines of what you have in front of you. That could be your workplace. That could be your home life. That could be your school. That could be your life group. Whatever it is, you've been working within those confines. But I believe this morning that God is speaking to us, and he's saying it's time to step out. God has empowered us. When we have been empowered, we walk in the boldness that God has poured out upon us. To be empowered by God means to have a supernatural strength, a fierce courage, and an uncanny boldness. The question is, does that describe you this morning? Have you been empowered by Holy Spirit? Do you have a supernatural strength inside of you? Do you have a fierce courage? Do you have that uncanny boldness inside of you? For some of you this morning, I believe, and I'm going to encourage you to get prepared. Brace yourself, because God is about to blow the lid off your top. He is preparing you, and he is going to do more than you can ever ask, think, or even imagine. So the question is, who's the sidekick in your relationship today? If it's been you, I'm suggesting that you relinquish the power and say, Holy Spirit, I'm done trying to be in control. You know where you're leading me. You know the plans that you have for me. God, just as God spoke over the people as they were being brought out of exile in Jeremiah 29, I want to declare that over us this morning. It says this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. This morning, that reminder is for us. We no longer live in exile. Are you living in exile this morning? Are you living in exile? Are you prepared for what God has in store for you? So let's walk in the freedom that God has called us to, knowing that we have been empowered by Holy Spirit. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Vaughn and Lisa are going to lead us in that song, Holy Spirit. And if you are here this morning and you need to be empowered by Holy Spirit, I'm going to invite you to come. We have a leadership council. We have a prayer team. We want to pray with you this morning. And we want to believe that Holy Spirit is going to pour out upon you this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you have been here in this place. And Father, this morning, I pray that you would pour out that supernatural strength, that you would pour out that uncanny boldness upon us. I pray that our hearts and our minds would be open to receive from you that which you want to say to us this morning. You have been speaking into our hearts. You've been showing us the things that we need to change, the things that we may need to correct. Father, I pray that we would relinquish our role as being the powerful one or thinking that we're the one in power, and that we would come along and we would be the sidekick and say, Holy Spirit, empower me. What would you have me to do? Where is it that we are going today? I want to be led by your Holy Spirit. So, Father, I thank you for what you're going to do in the hearts and minds of people, even right now. And I pray that you would pour out upon them. We ask this in your name. Amen.